Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, producer, speaker, and mighty millennial, Lauren Selman.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Phil, Mr. Squeeze, Parlapiano. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You heard me laughing. Like I still am, actually, during Mark's talk. Sorry about that, Mark. That was a great intro, but our guest had me laughing. She was dancing to our intro music. She is a mighty millennial. I love her energy. And actually, that's actually something that we're going to be talking about today. It's more than energy. She's got a presence. There's so much that we could say about her, and that's why she's on the show. So this show reminded me of something. A lot of you know now, I've worked for a few companies, and one of them was, again, one of the third largest companies in the world. I keep saying that, but it's a big deal. I mean, that's what it was. And this is the thing, is that the boy I was, the graduate out of university, who was just so happy to have this job, would cower anytime management would say anything to me, like do this or do that. And I would cower. And I had so many managers during my career there, during my years there. I also watched so many other managers, and I would look up to some, and I would wonder how some got there, and blah, blah, blah. Point I'm making is that they, almost all of them, were like, kind of had a pompous attitude. And they knew it all, and they directed the world, and they told you what to do, and blah, 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 blah. And then something happened. There was a layoff. And when that layoff happened, and many of these managers got laid off, they scrambled in life like they had no clue that, you know, what the world was like, or what life was, or what they were supposed to do, or how to do it. And I would see these people after they were laid off, and I think, what happened to you? They were worse than I was when I was the cowering young boy underneath their rule. And it was like, whoa, you really must have not felt really good inside when you were that person in that company. You were just being held up by a false sense, by a company that was maybe overpaying you and telling you what to do. And you were just going around just telling people what you were being told to tell them to do. And they just fell apart. And so they were missing something, like they were missing. And it's no coincidence that I think everything they were missing, our guest has. And so she's going to tell us and them, if they're listening, what's up. And so I think that's what this show's about. So we'll be talking to our guest, Lauren Selman, and we'll be also talking to and listening to the music of our musical guest, Phil Parlapiano, all on the Life Changes Show, when we come back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network.
You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio. This is The Life Changes Show. I'm sitting here with Mark LaJour, and I mean that.
I can tell you're exhausted during the commercial break.
No, because I go back every time I do those monologues, I go back to where it is I was talking about, and I'm not that boy anymore.
Those
people.
Yeah, and those people aren't those people anymore. And
yeah,
and you know, this is it is really the perfect monologue, and leads into what's going to be an amazing conversation with Lauren. But this whole idea of people subscribing or ascribing their value to their position, their title, their stuff, you know, and then the world shattering because they're now forced to fall back on who they really are for whatever, however many moments until they either reascribe to some other false sense of self or finally adapt and get to, you know, their authentic self.
Mm. Exactly. Well, speaking about authentic self, I mean, already she was showing her authentic self dancing to the music, pointing, like directing already, like, you go. It's like, she's Lauren Selvin. She's our guest today. She's the premier film and event producer. She has produced such little things as the Oscars or worked with the Oscars, Primetime Emmys, the Olympics, Golden Globe Awards.
All the little ones.
The little ones. Teen Choice Awards. Oh, Cirque du Soleil. We could go on and on. But here she is, Lauren Selvin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
I've been here the whole time.
Hi, Lauren.
It was so hard for you not to speak for those first 2 minutes.
It's hard for us to not know you were actually here.
I know. I was hiding. I'm so excited and honored to be on this show. I can't contain myself.
Well, it's our pleasure. We've been trying to get you on, I think, for almost a year. And I remember when we first started, it was like award season. And it's like, duh, she's a little busy right now. And then you get off of award season, you get busy with something else and something else. And so here we are.
Well, something I was talking with you guys about earlier is this idea of seasons. You know, there's award season, there's training season. But, you know, we kind of think of ourselves and we want to think of humans as these evergreen people that we're going to be the same as we are in January, as we are in December, with the same job from 9 to 5. And that's not the world now.
Yeah.
You know, people are working from home. They're changing. There are different things that they're doing, different months of the year, and allowing ourselves to have seasons. And those seasons are professional, but they're also emotional, you know, that we can be sad and allowing ourselves to be sad or have a spiritual season. So thank you for catching me in this season. And he was my first call as I emerged when the cherry blossoms bloomed in Japan. I don't know.
Okay, now we know. As soon as those cherry blossoms start to bloom, which is why we're calling the show Adapting to Cherry Blossoms.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, adapting to change. So how did you get into, first off, doing events? She's making fun of me.
Look, I'm not. No,
you're mimicking me. Is that what you're doing?
No.
You're doing my hand thing.
I'm so excited.
And we got to add speaker
and
as well.
And, you know,
she's
a
speaker, has done a number of TED Talks.
Yeah.
There's so much to say about Lauren, but okay, let's start
dancer,
with
we got to add dancer because I've seen her dance already. Go. So,
Ironman competitions, marathons.
You have a tattoo?
It's fake.
Okay, hold on. Oh, it's a fake? Still cool.
It's cool. I did the I got the honor to do the half Ironman this
weekend.
Okay,
see, this is radio.
Sorry,
so
I can't.
People
see, you
didn't
can't see,
see
me.
It, so we're gonna have to take a picture later.
Well, and
we're
gonna
have to post it. Yeah. Okay. All right. So forget that question. We ran out of time for that one. So
I became an event producer because my mom used to do events growing up, and I loved doing events with my mom. And I remember like licking envelopes when I was like 7 years old, stuffing like fundraising packets for my school. So that's how I got into events initially.
Wow.
And I've always loved pulling together people. And, you know, if someone has an idea, I'm like, cool, you have an idea. I know some people. Let's make something happen. And so I love pulling people together and making parties and having wonderful, memorable events.
And you were in a household that had very few limitations put on you.
I was.
And share that with.
She's like, okay, where is he going?
Where's he going with this? I was raised by two extraordinary people, my mom and my dad. And I was
raised.
Can
we mention we've had your dad on the show?
Yes, you can.
Okay. We've had her dad on her
show. Shout out to Jim Selman.
What's up, Dad? If you're here, if you're listening, what's up? So I was raised by two extraordinary parents who really instilled in me the idea that I could do anything I wanted. You know, one of my first films I actually made was called I Want to Be Me. And it was based on this question that we have instilled in children of, well, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I hate that question.
I hated it. Oh, my gosh. I hated it.
Me
but
too.
I came up with two answers. One was I would either say, I want to be happy. And they just thought I was
good
so cute
one.
That they would leave me alone.
Good one.
Or I would say, you know, what I want to be hasn't been invented yet because I'm not doing it. What's up? So the truth is that's actually the reality that I've grown up in. And sure enough, my first job out of college was I started my own company being an environmental consultant to the film industry, a job that really didn't exist. And that's how my career and how my life has really come to fruition is being creating my life and being the source of that. And if I want to do something, doing it. And in that, also learning what I love and what I'm quote-unquote passionate about and what excites me, but also things that I don't like. And knowing that it's as important to find things that you like and also being able to decipher the things that you don't.
I love that. And
so you're fulfilling the I want to be happy one in
all the
real
time.
Yeah.
All the time. It was so great when we actually made the film. We interviewed kids and we interviewed adults and we interviewed like the whole spectrum of people and found that at the end of the day, people just want to have the permission and the space to be themselves. So I want to be me. You want to be you. You want to be you. And that's okay.
And actually, that's perfect because you know what my answer? I've never met anybody. You and I have to talk after the show.
Okay.
But I've never met anybody who had a different, you know, who had said that about that question. And my answer was consistently, I want to be Filippo.
Hmm.
And growing up, it's exactly what you're saying. I should have included the happy, but I didn't think of that.
Happy Filippo.
happy Filippo.
At the same time, right? Like we have it that we want to be happy, but the great movie that came out, one of my favorites, Inside Out, you know, allowing ourselves to be sad and angry and disgusted and express those emotions because they're just as valid as being joyful and happy.
And if you don't express them, then they stay in there and then they create other more of the same. Yeah. Oh my gosh,
I learned to express them.
Her face is so expressive. You express, Mark.
You express. I can express.
Okay, so your parents were extraordinary, but they did transformational work,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So you grew up it's with a lot of these kind of newish ideas
mm-hmm.
that
what some might refer to as woo-woo.
Yes. Okay, right.
Well, anybody west of Arizona.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
And with it too was also the permission to do what I wanted to do and knowing that I was going to be supported and have a safety net that I could fall back into.
Which is interesting because you said that posed a different problem. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. But before we go, I wanted to say to people that I hope I can say this. You haven't even lived three decades yet. I mean, and you've had how many jobs?
About I'm pushing on 40 jobs and I just turned 30 a couple weeks ago. But we can talk about that later.
So you're actually not worried about like job
She's
security?
Just really efficient.
Yeah, she is. She's got it all done. She can retire now. You're not worried about job security. You're not looking for a gold watch from anyone.
You know, honestly, I think for me personally, I'm not. And I think there's also been a shift in our generation. You know, I talk to my peers, and you talk to them about what wanting to join a company, and it's, well, is that company up to something? What's the purpose of that company? And really? Oh, absolutely. You know, some people are still interested in money, but at the end of the day, it's like, is this company in alignment with my values? Is this a company I want to stand behind? Is this something I want to be a part of? Because we all, we're, I would call like our generation the generation that wants to make a difference. But I think at the end of the day, we all want to matter and make a difference and know that our presence matters in a company or in a family or an organization or a team.
Well, your presence matters.
Let me just tell you that.
I'm glad you're here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Lawrence Selman. And then a little later on, we're going to have Phil Parlapiano play a guitar for us here on the show with some of his original music. This is already a fun and exciting show. Can't wait for more. Stay tuned here on the Life Changer Show. All right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back.
And
what was that about your grandma? We are back. I am Philippe Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lischer and our guest, Lawrence Selman. Who are you waving at?
Them in the booth.
Oh, you're okay.
It's pretty extraordinary the amount of teamwork and people that go and make this show possible. It's
all
pretty extraordinary
to have you on as a guest.
Indeed.
That's how it is, and that's how important you are. So you know, this is, I never thought about this. So growing up with a positive attitude posed an interesting, let's not say problem, let's say situation, where you could do anything you want, and then what, and then where you take that?
Well, right? Like, you can do anything you want to do. And you're like, like anything? Like, anything can be really scary and overwhelming. It's almost like if you're standing in front of Starbucks being like, I don't know if I want a venti or a grande or a caramel or a chocolate.
It's more like the Cheesecake Factory menu.
Right, exactly.
It's just too big.
And we constantly, as time goes on, there are more and more options and things to do and places to go and sites to visit and all these things. And we've got so many options these days that, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and we were saying, you know, at the end of the day, you just have to choose. Just choose one. You know, if we're talking about charity or activism, right, there's vegan rights and animal rights and climate change and social justice. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed with all the problems that are going on in the world. Which one am I going to do? You know, it doesn't matter. Mm. Choose one.
Well, and choose one, and choose one with confidence,
yes.
Right? Because the other thing is I'm seeing a lot from a lot of the millennials, when you have a lot of different talents, like yourself, choosing one is one thing, but the world tends to want to put you in boxes.
It's like becoming a professional generalist.
Interesting. Well put.
You know, and to that point, how do we identify the skills that we have or the value that we bring to the table and adapt them to all the various opportunities that we have. You know, I talk to my friends and people aren't holding down jobs for more than don't know, 5 years at most. And being able to be like, oh, well, I have this skill set and now there's another job opening in a completely different industry. How can I adapt my skill set to fit that? And then also bring value that may not have been there had I not been present.
Okay, so there was
a word. At the information exchange rate nowadays, right, 5 years is like a 30-year career, I think. In
absolutely.
The old days.
Yeah, things have changed so much. So you just said a word that I'm very curious about because we've named the show Adapting to Change because of the TED Talk that you did and also because that's what you have done all these years. What those managers were missing,
mm-hmm.
at least one of the things, was that they didn't know how to adapt. Mm-hmm. So what do you find important about adapting? How does one go about adapting?
You know, I think that adaptation is one of the best skills that we can have moving forward with the world changing, with us changing. You know, my sister would always tell me, she said, you know, we think that change happens to us,
mm-hmm.
you know, like change is out to get you. Wah. But really,
wah.
Yeah, do you like that? That was like your Halloween episode. But really, like we have it
change
that change is coming. Oh, but really, like change can happen through you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not resisting change. You know, when things don't change, I get really nervous. You know, because I thrive on change and having things move and being able to say, you know, I'm going in this direction. Oh, there's a wave. I'm going to go this direction. And as you said, my career has really been based on adapting to change. Mm. You know, I've worked in the video game industry, the entertainment industry, nonprofits, government, all over the place. And one could say that I'm completely scattered and there may be some validity to that. But truly, it's how do I adapt my skill set and relate to various people and various personalities to create the life that I want to live.
Yeah, so interesting that you say that. I had found myself in the business world, in the investment banking world, partly because I didn't have that thing, you know, that I was going to be when I was younger. And once I settled in there, even though that was a kind of a long-term part of my career, it was a lot of little careers within, because every company that I would get involved was a different company with a different culture and something else to immerse myself in. And so it was constant change. And that's what I was attracted to most.
Mm-hmm. And beyond just career, right? You know, we have changes in our lives and moving, changing schools and changing, you know, where we're going to live and relationships.
Changing partners.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you changing my clothes in the morning.
You know, actually, we were kind of joking. What? Changing your clothes? In the morning, you know, you change your clothes?
Yeah, out of my pajamas into my clothes. Change is rampant everywhere.
No, exactly. So I say to people who say, well, you know, things haven't really changed in my life. You know, I've been with the same person for the past 20 years. I'm like, you think you've been with the same person for the past 20 years? Hello, you've changed over these 20 years. That person's changed. How can we think things have stayed the same?
Absolutely. And it's really change. You can't avoid it. So why resist it and just embrace it and be like, okay, hi, change. Welcome. There's a couch. Would you like some water, change? Okay, great. You know, instead of resisting it, trying to push it away and just welcoming it. And, you know, this is what it is. And I love this show because it is about life changes.
Yeah.
And it life changes, period.
Yeah.
you get it. You get it.
Like, okay.
Okay, and that's our show.
Like, life changes, period.
But it's funny. We have plenty of people that ask us, so what's the show about?
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah,
Yeah, Lauren changes her clothes. How many times in the morning?
Sometimes. Actually, little side note. It's actually quite funny. We kind of laugh about how many careers I have. I'm going to pause for a second. There's one of my favorite Shakespeare quotes is, you know, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players.
Oh, I thought that was Elvis.
That was Elvis too. I don't know. But
Elvis Shakespeare.
The point is, right, we play all these different characters in a single day.
Yeah.
And in my car, I always have a black dress and a set of heels, a running clothes and running sneakers.
Do you ever mix them up and like run in the heels?
Yeah, she's wearing them right now. Oh, yeah. This is mixed up.
So exactly. I kind of use my Prius as my Superman changing booth so I can not get caught in that.
Superwoman changing booth.
Thank you.
So what about curiosity? How does that play a role in your life?
I think curiosity, you know, at the end of the day really is my compass. You know, it's right now I'm in between jobs. I'm in between gigs, but there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with right now. You know, I'm looking around to see, you know, what's around the corner.
Cherry blossoms are blooming.
Yeah, she was actually, cherry blossoms are blooming.
Let's go to Japan, guys.
You're actually happy about it because you're like, kind of a break time. Different. It's different than what I normally do.
Yeah. And it allows yourself to like rest and reflect and
that's
really.
That's kind of like a job.
It's kind of a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Focus on that for a little
important
bit.
Important job.
Yeah. What's the rate?
Yeah, it doesn't pay enough. But go on. Curiosity.
No, and
that's
really,
up to you, actually.
And really curiosity being like, you know, how is this water bottle made? What is this all about? Oh, what's this table? Like really having a profound interest in how things work and learning about them. And, you know, if let's say you have a judgment about someone, like talking with them about it, and maybe your judgment will change at the end. You know, really getting curious about people, getting curious about topics, politics, like whatever it is, like dive deep. Don't be afraid to learn more about a subject. Really get curious about it. And, you know, some people talk about having an amateur mind about life, you know, having that new kind of freshman feel about things in life, you know, whether it's something that's brand new to you or something that you've been struggling with, you know, relationships, for example, you've maybe been with the same person for 20 years, you know, how can you bring an amateur mind to it? How can you be a little more curious about something that you're really familiar with? Maybe there's something deeper if you just dig and get a little more curious about the dynamic there.
It was either Shakespeare or Elvis, I don't know, who said that we don't get old, we stop getting curious, right? or maybe it was somebody else.
I think it was Einstein who said, I have no special talent.
That was in his amateur mind.
Is that right? Yeah. I have no special talent. I'm just something curious.
Okay. That's a good one. Yeah. Something curious. It's okay if you don't remember. We have a computer. We could look it up. We can look it up on our phones.
It's like but one of my favorite.
We get the point.
Brain injury.
We get the point. What I love about you talking about curiosity is, to me, that could be the answer to your friends who say, oh, there's so many things to choose. How could I choose? What are you curious about?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I have no special talent. I am only passionately curious.
There it is. Thank you, Einstein.
And was it Einstein?
Yeah.
It was
okay,
Einstein.
We have one quote attributed correctly. Right? What are you curious about? What makes you...
What ignites you?
Exactly. What gives you that tingle in your belly?
You know, I was reading an article today online, and it was talking about, you know, find your passion. You know, everyone be passionate.
Oh, use that voice more. Let's
you
see.
Like that?
Yeah.
That voice? No, but
next job.
The article was talking about, you know, well, we talk about finding your passion. Well, you know, well, no, what excites you? You know, finding your passion sounds almost a little too Hallmark now these days.
Yeah.
You know, like really what ignites you? What are you curious about? What do you want to learn more about? And, you know, truly my life has become a mosaic of randomness that is rich and delicious and wonderful. But you look down and like those don't match up. How did she get to that point? No, it was that I was curious and, you know, I ran for a beauty pageant. I got a bachelor's degree in science. You know, like it's kind of all over the
place.
You're
curious, but I think where it applies to what Filippo was saying at the outset of the show, you're also fearless and there's also follow through. And there's a big difference between being curious. A lot of people wondered, what would it be like to that? And what, but then they ought, you know, go into, oh, I couldn't do that. Or I could never leave this. I can, you know, and you've moved on those actions and you've allowed yourself the freedom to reinvent yourself and explore and be vulnerable and be courageous.
And I think with what we were talking about before, you know, choosing something, but then going 100% for it.
Right. Certainty.
Yeah, speaking about going 100% for it, did you know you've been recognized by the BBC, NPR, Business Week, IATSE, and the Hollywood Reporter, and I could go on. I mean, this is the person like, I don't know what I'm going to do next, and then she does something and she gets recognized and awards, and what's up with that?
I don't know. Yeah. Oh. Honestly, whenever I'm in something, I go 100%
in
it.
That's what's up with it.
That's, yeah.
That's what's it. That's it. How many people do that? Awesome.
Thank you. And really, I put blinders on and I go. And some people say, you know, that I'll not return phone calls. Like, I didn't return yours and I'm sorry.
You did a year later. Here we are. Don't worry.
Everything is right. Timing.
You're sitting there.
But yeah, and I think that's a big takeaway for people who are listening in. It's like, if you want to go travel, like, go buy a ticket. You know, if you want, if there's an ounce of you that is curious about what it would be like to learn a new skill or learn a new language, there are so many tools out there for you to try it and to not be afraid to try it. You know, because you're the only one really watching. You know, if you want to learn French, go listen to a French song. Okay, great. You liked it? Great. Go rent a French movie. You know, you're interested in Japan? You know, like, there's so much available and there's so many resources. And it's like, it may sound trite, but just do it. Just show up for your life and go for it.
Now, many people want to just do it and they come to Hollywood to become famous, like a singer or an actor or something like that. You are beautiful and smart and came to Hollywood to turn it green. So when we come back, please tell us all what that means and how you did it. We're talking to Lauren Selman here. And in just a little bit, we're going to have Phil. Actually, his name is Phil, like my name, Filippo, and my brother's name is Peter. So I called him Peter because it can't be Phil. That's me.
you guys are funny.
That was well done. That was good disclaimer.
That's true. I realized what the connection was. I'm going to call him Peter. So when we get back, Phil Parlapiano will be with us playing music. Bye on The Life Changes Show.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune and our guest, Lauren Selman. If you haven't had enough of her, as I know we won't, you can go to laurenselman.com, learn more about her, hire her, do something different. She'll turn whatever you're doing upside down, inside out, and make it, you know, even more fun. Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, Selman, S-E-L-M-A-N.com, laurenselman.com. You could go there. But wait, after the show, there's more. We've got Lauren Selman here live. We were going to talk about turning Hollywood green. What was that about?
So that was me trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. When I went to UC Berkeley, go Bears. Heyo, go Bears. And I studied conservation resource management and I studied theater. And I squished them together for my senior thesis and I wrote a study about the environmental impact of entertainment.
Ah.
You know, like, so when we make movies, you know, where do these walls go? What's the environmental impact of making this? Mm. So this is way, way back when.
Like when you blow up all the cars and.
Exactly. Right? Mm. And so I had this idea, you know, what would it be like to green Hollywood, you know, green a movie set? And I had an incredible director, Miranda Bailey, who came up and said, you know, let's make it into a documentary. So we made a documentary called.
I didn't realize it was Miranda.
I love her so much.
Hi, Miranda.
Hi, Miranda. And we made a film called Greenlit. And Greenlit was all about looking at, you know, what does it take to green a film set? And since 2008, when we made that film, you know, various folks have, sure enough, instigated recycling programs, compost programs, and a lot of environmental initiatives across the board. And I would actually say globally. There was a conference last week in India that was addressing it. And so actually people taking an initiative being like, oh, okay, you know, how can we actually make entertainment in a way that is much more eco-friendly? So that's, it's kind of how I got my start. My, you know, my Hollywood story would be I was literally like knee deep in dumpsters picking out trash and telling folks, you know, where to recycle and donating leftover food to shelters. And there would be days I would go home and I smelt awful. You know, I've been
just, you know, yelling at the, look what you're doing here, Mr. Producer.
You know, last week we had a lovely lady in here who said she was going through dumpsters.
It's a good
remember?
Point, too. It's, apparently, this is more of the elite production teams are doing more of this than we knew.
I know. It was very weird writing, like, my alumni newsletters being like, hi, guys, I've been in dumpsters since graduation. But yeah, that was my story of how I actually got down here to LA. I'm now producing films and events, and as part of that, having them be as environmentally friendly as possible.
Yeah, and the person who says she's doing nothing right now is also producing a film while she's doing nothing. And so tell us about this film, which is called Why, as in the letter. Why?
Yes. Oh yeah, this is what you do between jobs.
Yeah, because she's doing nothing. Why, as in why generation?
It is a project that I was brought on to through Big Picture Ranch with Josh Tickell and Rebecca Tickell.
Oh, I know them.
And I'm, yeah, they're incredible. And I've seen their films and we're friends. And, you know, really looking at, you know, who was coming out to see these environmental advocate, like activist movies were millennials. You know, young adults who really believed in something and wanted to make a difference. And, you know, a couple of presidential elections back, you know, the Obama's campaign was run on this idea of change and hope and making a difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our generation, there are over half of the world's population is under the age of 35. We are seeing
Wait, really? I didn't know this. Say again.
Our generation has actually surpassed the baby boomers. We're the largest generation in history.
Wow.
And we are seeing some very, very serious, you know, changes in the world from acidification of oceans and social injustice and climate change, very serious issues, but we're actually very equipped to resolve them. And as much as the media would like to think that we're lazy and narcissistic and entitled, which perhaps some of us are, at the end of the day, we want to work together and make a difference. And we're making this film, Why, which is all about activating and instilling, you know, you can do it and you can do it now. You just can't sit around and not do anything. And that's what we're about. I'm raising money. It's very exciting. This is a project that I'm so incredibly passionate about. And I have the opportunity to really step up and say, hey, you know, millennials are here to stay. We're here to make a difference. We're not just on our phones. You know, we're connected. We can activate people. And we can have people show up and make a difference.
Wow. Yeah, I have a job for you, actually.
Okay.
Okay. In 6 years,
okay,
or four, in 2020, I'd like to see you run for president.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Will you run my campaign?
I don't know if I'm qualified to do that, but I'll do something.
Okay.
All right. Mark, you in?
I'm in.
You guys are so sweet. I truly believe in my heart of hearts that right now is the opportunity for people to speak up. There's so much that's going on in the world right now, and to speak up for good, you know, don't just make noise.
Well, and since you like to invent things, you can run on the Millennial Party.
I will run on the Millennial Party. I love it. I love it so much.
I like that. Maybe
I would love to run for office someday. I'm serious about that.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
see,
here we go. You heard it here.
I don't know if it's president, but I would love to make a splash in the political scene.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks.
I got to change it up. I haven't had that career yet.
Yeah, exactly. By then I will have done everything else. So that's all that would be left.
And it's really, we need to bridge our communities. We need to bridge our generations. We need to learn from each other and stop proving each other wrong.
Yeah, it's about creative collaboration, not competition.
Exactly. Yeah. You said it so well.
Wait, that's the platform. Hold on. Creative collaboration in 2020. Vote for Lauren Salmon.
It's a little too many syllables. We got to shorten it
down. We'll work on it. This has been so much fun. So besides telling people to go to laurensalmon.com and to listen to so many great words of wisdom that you gave, you said, should I give them sound bites? Yeah, hello. That's we could like pick all that out and people your age and younger can hear. Hammer, what do you think? Yeah. See?
And I want to say like my age and older too, you know, like I talked to my dad a lot about this, that the world he lives in is very different than the world I live in, you know, from dating to jobs to like the political scene. How he was when he was 30 was different than I am. And even still, you know, he's older and I'm younger. We live in different worlds and it's about again, cross collaboration intergenerationally as well, you know, and being able to sit down and say, you know, what's important to you? Tell me, like being open to someone teaching you. We don't know everything. So the minute we think that we know everything, we've got to stop and think, you know, what do I need to learn here? What am I not listening to? You know, because once we stop listening to each other and listening to ourselves, then that's when things get a little murky and a little muddy.
I like that. We need to listen to each other and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right? And well, Lauren, this has been epic.
Epic sauce.
And she sings.
That might be our new jingle.
Did she say epic sauce?
We'll say Life Changes Show.
Epic sauce.
Damn. I'm going to quote the Life Changes quote. Epic sauce.
Should we do a hashtag? Hashtag epic sauce.
Too much fun. A lot of wisdom. A lot of fun. We're going to have to do this again. Since you're busy, why don't we schedule 2017? What are you doing on Monday?
Sounds wonderful. Okay. Yeah, but seriously, I would love to have people follow me online. You know, email me. I'm very accessible through social media, Facebook, Instagram. I'm a millennial. Find me. You can find me. I'm very accessible, and I'm up to what you're up to. You know, do something, create something, build something, talk to people. We're amazing people. You're amazing. And I'm glad you're listening. And I'm glad I'm here. And just do stuff. I was about to say, I can't say that.
You can.
So just do shit. Like,
there you go.
Oh, that. I didn't know you were going to say that. Okay.
No, but well, seriously, like, you can
you,
do it.
Lauren Zellman.
Okay. Sorry.
And right. Enjoy it.
And with that, we'll be right back with our guest, Phil Parlapiano, on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leger, and Lauren Zellman is still with us. And joining us is Phil Parlapiano, multi-instrumentalist, accordion and guitar. And what else, Phil?
Mandolin and the piano and the organ.
That's right. I think, you know, I was going through some, like, there was the Rod Stewart album, right. And there was the... Law and Order and Titanic. What'd you do on Titanic?
I was the accordion player.
The accordion player. Like, you were actually on camera on Titanic.
I was on the camera, yeah. I was about 45 minutes into it. She goes down to the third cabin and to see a real party, and she does a little ballet thing. And we're the Irish band that's playing down there.
Wow.
Yes.
I am so glad you were one of the people that were saved on the Titanic.
Yeah, yeah. You could be third class, yeah.
You could be here today. And then Joan Baez, you were her musical director. I mean, Joan Baez.
Yeah, she was great. That was my first professional gig.
Wow.
I was a little boy, 22 years old, I guess. Little to me.
Yeah, was it great?
Yeah, it was amazing. She was kind of my mentor for a little bit there.
I didn't do the math, but is that mean you went to Woodstock with her, or did she
No,
even go?
No, I didn't go that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I almost went to the second Woodstock with her.
The second one's Doug. Okay. And then Saturday Night Live, what did you do on that?
I played with Rod Stewart.
Oh, that was with Rod Stewart.
Yeah, that was Rod Stewart.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Can I ask what you did with Miley Cyrus?
That's really funny because back, in Los Angeles, what we do a lot of tracks at our home. Uh-huh. And so this guy had written songs for Miley Cyrus and was one of the writers in Disney, and he used to throw me tracks and just, here, do this organ at your house.
So, okay, which song?
Oh, I don't even remember. It was her duet with Sheryl Crow.
She
had kind of a country duet.
Yeah.
I played on that.
Oh, I like that actually. Yeah. What about Liza Minnelli? I didn't think I was going to do this. Sorry, but I like all of a sudden it's just like blah blah. What about Liza Minnelli?
Liza Minnelli. I played it was a reality show about this guy who was dying. It's horrible. He was dying of cancer, but his last wish was that he could get married to his sweetheart, and Liza Minnelli would play New York, New York at his wedding. And so they did this whole thing where they at the City of Hope where they got him there, and they said, he's like, we're going to have your dream wedding. And Liza came out and sang New York, New York. And the best part was I was playing the start to that. And she goes, take it from the top, Charlie. That's what she called me.
She called you Charlie?
She called me Charlie. Yeah.
So you don't mind me calling you Peter then?
I was like, I don't care what you call me. Liza Minnelli is kind of funny.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to do that, but since I did that, did I miss anything that you would rather I asked you about of any of those shows and all of that?
No. Records I did my own record, too, and when I was starting out, I had a band called the Brothers Figaro, and we had a big fat deal on Geffen Records, which is kind of funny because I just got my royalty statement. I only owe $270,000 now.
On your royalty statement.
My royalty statement. Yeah. What I'm saying is, it wasn't a successful record.
Right. But didn't you just do another one or recently where you did like it was all unplugged? Is that the one you're talking about?
No. That was one I did in the 90s. But I did one. I've done my own three of my own records.
Okay.
The last one was called Mr. Squeeze, the Mordacious Mr. Squeeze.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes. I have a copy for you.
Yeah, which is very cool because it's done to tape. Which, yes, see, a millennial and a Y person wouldn't know that, but
it's this big tape. it's two inch.
Excuse me, sorry. Two inch tape. Yeah.
Yes. We didn't use a computer at all.
Wow.
Not until, of course, you go to the end and you have to put it on a CD.
Oh, so you still had to use a computer.
Well, at that point. Well, it wasn't a computer. It was a DAT player.
Oh, yeah.
Any opportunity to use the word mordacious.
Yes.
Mordacious.
I mean, most people don't know what that means.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's my old moniker because I've kind of like turned over a new leaf. It's pretty much being snarky or sardonic.
Uh-huh.
Because I used to have a really like real nasty sense of humor. But I've kind of changed my ways.
You've adapted to change.
I've changed my ways. Yeah, it's not suiting me. It's like I realized the only way that the sardonic sense of humor would work is if I was Louis C.K. or something, And I had to be a big comedian, and that wasn't happening, so...
So now
I'm just
going
to be positive.
They used to be mordacious, Mr. Squeeze.
They used to be, formally.
Okay, and Mr. Squeeze because?
Oh, because when I was playing with John Prine, who's one of the people we didn't mention, he's a folk legend, he had a song where he called me Mr. Squeeze, and it was in the song. So I said, okay, I'll be Mr. Squeeze.
Very cool.
Yes.
All right, so what are we going to hear, Phil?
This first song is from the Mordacious Mr. Squeeze, and it's called Breakout.
Now, you're joined in the studio. We have Hank Van Sickle.
Van Sickle.
That's correct.
On bass.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. The two of you are going to do, what's your first song?
Breakout.
And what's that about?
Breakout is about the fact that we're all too staid in this life, and we don't really understand how beautiful everything is. And sometimes you meet somebody, and they go, God, you got to lighten up, man. Breakout.
Hear.
Yes.
Hear. Well, all right. Well, here's... Phil Parlapiano, Mr. Squeeze, singing his original Breakout on the Life Changes Show live at Studio NoHo.
History was written on the day we met. You were optimistic, I was a wreck. Now I'm okay. Feel a little scared, I'm okay. genius, but I listened when she said, try to control your future and you're lost inside your head. Now I'm okay, I don't have a care. I'm okay. Break out in the middle. Break out every day. Break out just a little, yeah. Break out, no, no. I had been so battered, then I was confused. Down to my wit's end, I had nothing left to lose. Now I'm okay, showed me the light. I'm okay, yeah. Break out in the middle. Break out every day. Break out just a little. Break out. Break out. Again, ship without a sail. Never believe those harried hordes, hoping that you fail. Now I'm alright, got all I need right here. I'm alright, yeah. Break out in the middle. Break out every day. Break out. Break out. Break out. Just a little. Break out. Every day. Break out. Break out. Break out.
Break out. Phil Parlapiano. Right. That's hey. Awesome.
Thank you.
What's that? What's that line? Never believe the mutt.
Oh, that's why I never believe the harried hordes, hoping that you fail.
The harried hordes.
The harried hordes. Yeah, mm. It's like a
great line.
Yeah, never believe them.
Never believe them.
No, don't.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. So you are at parlapiano.com. parlapiano.com. Parlapiano.com.
Yes, and there you can get on my Facebook. I'm just Phil Parlapiano at Facebook. There's one other Phil Parlapiano, believe it or not.
He really?
Back east. And there's a picture of a guy.
Where's Liza call him?
What? There's a picture of him fishing, and that's not me. I haven't fished in a long time.
Okay, so if the guy's fishing, it's not. Funny, yeah. It's not. Okay, what are you doing? Playing
I'm
something?
Playing the keyboard.
You're playing the keyboard.
Yeah, I was actually playing with Iron Butterfly at the time.
Jeez.
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, talk about adapting to change. So Parlapiano was playing the piano.
Yes.
So Parlapiano means actually speak softly,
that's
right?
That's correct, yes.
That's really
it's
cool.
It's actually a part of, as you know, it's a part of the language. You know, if you go to Italy, you'll hear them say it. In fact, in the theme from The Godfather, it speaks softly. It's actually in the lyrics, which you never hear, of course, the lyrics.
Actually, parla più piano, speak more softly.
Yes, right. Yes. You are correct. Yes.
Yes.
Speak more softly speaks.
Very cool. All right. So you are going to sing another Frozen for us?
I will sing another one. Yes.
Okay. And what's this one?
This was called In My Hiding Place.
What's that about?
Well, I have been thinking about it that everybody needs a little place that they go to and they kind of forgive themselves and it kind of was more influenced by I had a friend of mine who had a girlfriend and now is his wife and she's a great woman, but she was kind of we were all very big thinkers and intellectuals, and she was kind of the opposite. and very fun-loving. And
or at least so you thought.
So I thought until one day she said, we're talking about something, and she broke out the fact that every night before she goes to bed, she thinks about everything that might have gone wrong or how she might have done something wrong. And she goes, then she just released it. You know, I mean, I've been reading self-help books for 25 years, and I, you know, I still haven't gotten that one.
Wow.
But it was totally, and I thought, wow, I think more of you now. Well, I didn't think less of her, but you know, I was impressed.
Did you tell her?
No. I let it go back.
She went home and released it.
She's really pretty too. That's a thing. She's still pretty. So.
Wait a minute. Wait, you can't. You said all this. Yeah. She was very profound, and he ends up. She was so pretty. She was just so pretty. Like you almost just. And you didn't even tell her that she made you think. And years later, how many years ago was this?
I don't know, about 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago, and we're still thinking about her. You wrote a song about it. I love it. Okay, so this is to her. I guess we're not saying her name.
No. My friend would kill me. See, he's not listening, thank God.
This is to... you don't know. This is to her. This is In My Hiding Place, Phil Parlapiano Live on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
I make them right. In my hiding place, I get back in the race, give them all another fight. In my hiding place, where many fools have tread, I think of broken promises, yeah, all those things you said, it's on my mind this time. Tell me that it is another day. Time to fight them new, and I'll be on my way. Oh, it's on my mind this time. Mama, mama, mama. Comes a day now when a boy becomes a man, leaves behind his childish ways to do the best he can. Oh, it's on my mind this time. In my hiding place, I think of all the wrongs I did, make them right. Give them all another fight. I see the real reason all this twisted game has been locked inside many a year. There it shall remain. Give me just a little courage. Give me just a little strength. Do you think I am important? Can you teach me not to think? In my hiding place, I think and feel. Move on to a brand new day, yeah. In my hiding place, my feelings on the surface, and I set them free. In my hiding place, I remember there were feelings never fade away. Don't fade away.
Nice.
Okay. I forgot to mention too that it's not totally just about that experience. It's about another experience.
Of course not.
As I was singing the words, I go, "Well, this has nothing to do with that at all."
It's an accumulation.
It's about another girl.
And he's going to change it now, just in case she's listening. Because we did get a call in, by the way, and I'm like, "That's
she
my wife."
Mad. She's like, "I'm my wife."
Phil Parlapiano, you are. You're Thank you. You're a character. You know that.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to be. I'm on a TV show one of these days.
And I appreciate it. Well, at parlapiano.com.
Yes.
P-A-R-L-A-P-I-A-N-O. Mm-hmm. Well, like piano.com. Yes. And Phil Parlapiano all over the internet, except for the guy that's fishing. That's
yes,
not him.
Right, that's
and we've had Hank Van Sickle on the bass.
Yes.
Where do we find you?
Same place, all over the internet.
All over the internet. Hank is on the internet, except for the guy who's...
There's a fireman. There's a fireman. That's not me. Although it should be.
All right. So thank you, Hank Van Sickle. Thanks, Phil Parlapiano. Thank you for being here.
I'll be over at the Tax on May 6th.
Here in L.A.?
Yeah, it's Echo Park.
Oh, very cool. Are you posting that at parlapiano.com?
It'll be on Facebook? My Facebook, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so all right. Find him there. And you, where are you going to be, Lauren?
When?
Yeah.
What day?
Right now.
Let's start with tomorrow.
Right after the show.
I'm going to be right here on this couch.
Learn more about her.
She's staying the night.
LaurenSelman.com. This has been so, so much fun. On behalf of Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, thank you for making us sound so good, our engineer. On behalf of Doug Newsom, our program manager, BBS Radio, and our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Leger, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, I'm your host, saying, as your life changes, as I think all of ours just did, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.